1. Lady Winwood being denied, the Morning Caller inquired with some anxiety for Miss Winwood, or, in fact, for any of the young ladies. In face of the rumour which had come to her ears, it would be too provoking if all the Winwood ladies were to withhold themselves. But the porter held the door fully open and said that Miss Winwood was at home. Mrs. Maltfrey stepped into the dim hall and said briskly, "Where is Miss Winwood? You need not be at the trouble of announcing me." All the young ladies, it seemed, were in the small saloon. Mrs. Maltfrey nodded and walked across the hall with a click of her high heels. She tapped with her gloved hand on one of the panels of the door and entered on the echo of her knock. The three Mrs. Winwood were grouped by the window, presenting an artless and agreeable picture. Upon a faded yellow satin sofa sat Miss Winwood and Miss Charlotte, their arms entwined about each other's waists. They were much alike, but Miss Winwood was held to be the greater beauty. Her classic profile was turned to the door, but upon Mrs. Maltfrey's rustling entrance, she looked round and displayed to the visitor a pair of melting blue eyes and a sweet, arched mouth that formed, at the moment, an O of mild surprise. A quantity of fair curls dressed without powder and threaded by a blue ribbon framed her face and tumbled onto her shoulders in several ordered locks. Miss Horatia, the youngest of the three, was seated on a low stool by the sofa, propping her chin in her hands and scowling dreadfully. Her hair was dark, her eyes a profound grey, and her brows, nearly black and rather thick, were quite straight, and gave her a serious, almost frowning expression. No amount of careful training would induce an arch in them. She was quite half a head shorter than her sisters, and at the age of 17 was obliged regretfully to admit that she was not likely to grow any taller. All three sisters wore morning toilets of worked muslin over slight hoops, with Tiffany sashes round their waists. "Countrified," thought Mrs. Maltfrey, giving her fringed silk mantle a satisfied twitch.
"My dears," she exclaimed, "I came the instant I heard. Tell me at once, is it true? Has rule offered?"
Miss Winwood, who had risen gracefully to receive her cousin, seemed to droop and to grow pale.
"Yes," she said faintly. "Alas, it is quite true, Teresa."
Mrs. Maltfrey's eyes grew round with respect.
"Oh, Lizzie," she breathed. "Rule, a countess? 20,000 a year, I have heard, and I dare say it may be found to be more."
Miss Charlotte set a chair for her, observing with a reproving note in her voice,
"We believe Lord Rule to be a most eligible gentleman."
"Lord Charlotte," said Mrs. Maltfrey tartly, "Rule's the biggest prize in the market, and you know it. A house in Grosvenor Square, and Meering, which I am told is quite superb. The park 7 miles about, and 3 lodge gates. It's the most amazing piece of good fortune ever I heard."
The youngest Miss Winwood, who all the time had continued to sit with her chin in her hands, suddenly raised her head and delivered herself of one shattering word.
Stuff,
she said, in a deep little voice that just quivered on a stammer. Miss Charlotte looked pained. Miss Winwood gave a rather wan smile.
"Indeed, I fear Horry is in the right," she said sadly. "It is just the fortune."
"Why, Lizzie," said Mrs. Maltfrey, "one would think you had had dark tidings instead of a splendid offer."
"Teresa," intoned Miss Charlotte, putting both arms about her sister,
"can it be that you have forgotten Mr. Heron?"
Mrs. Maltfrey had forgotten Mr. Heron. Her jaw dropped slightly, but she recovered in a moment.
"To be sure, Mr. Heron," she said. "It is very afflicting, but Rule, you know. I don't say poor Mr. Heron is not a very estimable creature, but a mere lieutenant, dearest Lizzie, and I dare say we'll soon have to go back to that horrid war in America. It's not to be thought of, my love."
"No," said Elizabeth in a suffocated voice. "Not to be thought of."
Horatia's dark gaze dwelled broodingly on her second sister.
"I think it would be a very good thing if Charlotte were to have rule,
she pronounced.
"Horry?"
gasped Charlotte.
"Lord, my dear, what things you say,"
remarked Mrs. Maltfrey indulgently.
"It's Elizabeth Rule wants."
Horatia shook her.